You're listening to the Team Flower Podcast, where we talk about flowers and the people who have dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We believe that our work with flowers matters, and we're cheering each of you on. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you please help us share it with more flower lovers like you? By taking a moment to leave a rating and review, you're helping us take one step forward in loving the world through flowers. Just head to your listening platform and let us know what these conversations mean to you. Your support is what drives Team Flower forward, and we're so thankful for you. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Team Flower Podcast. It's Janine. I'm back again, and today I'm talking with Melissa Brown. She is the owner of Bee Mary Farm out in Mount Vernon, Washington, which is a beautiful area, so I've heard. Bee Mary Farm is in the heart of the Skagit Valley in Washington and is a small-scale flower farm that focuses mainly on cut flower production and community connection and backyard beekeeping, which is exciting. And what's something that's so unique and so cool about Melissa is that she's an elementary school teacher by day, and then she uses her evenings and weekends and all of her summers to growing and sharing flowers with others. They offer U-Pick and on-farm events during the growing season, and in the off-season, her focus shifts to dahlia tuber care and sales. So I'm excited, Melissa, that you're here. I can't wait to hear more about everything, but thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks so much for reaching out and inviting me to be on the podcast. I'm excited.
You bet. Okay, well, of course, we have to start with your story into flowers, because I know it's not something you like knew that you had a dream for until it just kind of happened. So tell us how it happened.
Well, it's just something I kind of stumbled into that started with moving down the road about 4 or 5 years ago. We've lived in the same house in Skagit Valley, oh goodness, I'd say 10, 12 years, something like that. And then one of our neighbors was selling her house down the road, and it's a beautiful old farmhouse. Part of the deal with the house, though, is it had a little bit more acreage. And so 4 of the 5 acres were zoned for agriculture. So my husband, Jeff, and I were told that to keep that zoning, you had to actually farm it. So we kind of scratched our heads for a while on what are we going to do? Jeff had already been a beekeeper just as a backyard hobby for a while. So we thought, well, we could sell honey, but is that going to really be enough to consider it, you know, to be considered farming? And then I thought about how I've just enjoyed growing flowers, brought in some dahlia tubers, and what started as 10 tubers just kind of snowballed and over the years has grown into thousands. So now, like I was saying, we sell honey and on a pretty small scale though, and the flowers with dahlias, they just multiply like crazy. And so pretty soon you have more than you know what to do with. I sell tubers and then we invite people to come and cut from our U-Pick field in the summers.
That is so much fun. I definitely have a lot of questions about that, but I really want to hear more about this U-Pick business model that you have. Like what made you decide to go on that venture? And I guess, how have you seen it impact your community?
Sure. Well, when I first came up with the idea a number of years ago, It was really just maybe I had 100 dahlias at that time, and it was pretty small. And I thought, I don't really want to make bouquets, have a bouquet stand, and then have someone or no one, I mean, come along and buy them and just have to compost them. So I thought, what would be more of a unique way to get flowers into people's hands, but also not using my time wisely, since we are in education and we have a whole other world of employment outside of this. So I thought, well, a U-Pick, that's going to be very little work, which was a silly, naive thing to think, you know, live and learn. And so it started pretty small that first year. I didn't have a whole lot back there. It was mostly friends and family who came. And then the next couple of years, there was another local grower who planted dahlias on our property as well. So we were able to offer twice as much as what we could do on our own. And it just kind of took off really fast. I was pleasantly surprised by how rapidly it's grown. So I think what we're tapping into is that we don't currently have another flower you pick in our local area, at least not that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately, how people are really more interested in where they're sourcing their food and knowing your grower in terms of your food. Mm-hmm. And I think that's starting to spill over into flowers a little bit. People are interested in supporting local, supporting seasonal, and not so much getting flowers from overseas. And so I think it's kind of tapping into that by having a U-pick, because sure. You can actually go to where your flowers are grown and you can talk to the grower. And I just think that's kind of a unique thing. I know we're not the only ones, obviously, who do this, but in our local area, we kind of are right now. So,
yeah, I think it's a really wonderful way to connect with your community. And I applaud you for recognizing that there is a need for this and stepping in and meeting the need in your own community for this type of model. I am curious about, like, I don't know if you're willing to share the business side of things, like what are your hours of operation? And because you have a full-time job as a teacher, right? And so do you get a rest day? Like, do you factor that in too? But yeah, your hours of operation. And even if you don't mind sharing, like, how you price, like, do you price by bucket or by stem, or just for those who are thinking about maybe trying this out?
Okay, sure. We can start with hours of operation. It's pretty minimal since the focus is on dahlias for the most part, and they are very much a late July to late September crop. So the U-pick happens within that window. And last year I had some hours where people could just kind of come whenever. This year, as we grew so substantially, I started feeling uncomfortable having people just show up and walk around in essentially my backyard. Sure. and my dog was not a big fan of that either. So we had more, I'm trying to get better about posting hours. We still have people sometimes just show up as looky-loos. So we're trying to figure out how do we maintain our privacy going forward while sure. also having a welcoming environment. So this year, anyway, back to ours, we focused on Saturday evenings. It seemed to work best with my schedule and my husband's schedule and education. We'd be home Friday night to get the lawn mowed, to get all the furniture set up, because people will come back and they'll have picnics or date night, whatever. And so we'd get tables all shuffled around, mow the lawn, get everything ready. And then Saturday night, we would open for U-picks. That would give us the day to get our kids to all their sports activities. And people love being out here at sunset because it's so beautiful and you have that mm-hmm. magic hour for pictures. Mm-hmm. As far as pricing goes, we've kept it pretty simple at $1 a stem. I haven't really had a firm price on buckets because I just figure whatever you can cram in a bucket at $1 yeah. a stem, you know, I don't right. know. It's pretty simple. It's just honor system. I don't count yeah. their blooms. People count themselves. They either Venmo or cash box. I mean, it's pretty laid back.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing all of that with us. And I love, like, I want to go. I want to go to your U-pick and have a picnic as a family and just pick some flowers and enjoy the sunset and golden hour. That sounds so dreamy.
It is dreamy. Yes, definitely. Well, if you're ever out in the Skagit Valley, you should come on over.
Deal. I promise awesome. to make that happen. Put it on our to-do list for sure. Okay. So as you have, you know, kind of stumbled into this dream of yours of flower farming, what kind of resources and stuff did you find really useful for your learning?
There's so much that is free, which is amazing for people who never really meant to go into this on any sort of professional level. Mm-hmm. I haven't really taken any classes, not a lot of workshops, but Instagram has so many fantastic growers out there who freely share their knowledge. So some of the resources I've tapped into. Florette, for one, has amazing mini series that you can sign up for every year. And she teaches so many incredible, she just is so free in sharing her nuggets of wisdom on growing. And so I've tapped into that year after year. I'm part of the Growing Kindness Project. I've been one of the ambassadors since it first got off the ground. Yeah.
Are you super familiar?
I did hear it on one of your podcasts earlier. Yeah. So, Deanna lives right up from the school where I teach. So I've known her through our school and then got involved in that right from, you know, right out the gate. So through that, I've had some training. They do free training Fridays that people can tap into over Instagram. And then lots and lots of books, of course. So anything from Florette is amazing. Pepper Harrow, who I know you had on the podcast too. I love their book. That was so good. We took a family trip to Hawaii this summer and I just went cover to cover on the trip over.
That's
so
awesome.
Fantastic. Like furiously taking notes. And then I love the new book from Millie Proust. And there's so many amazing growers who share information. And
I'm really impressed that you have so much time, that you take so much time to read as well. Because I mean, there's always something more to learn and something new to learn, which is something that is really beautiful about this industry, or really, I guess, about life in general. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that you recognize that and that you are you're taking your responsibility seriously, in bettering your knowledge so that you can do the best that you can do for your community, which is awesome. So thanks for doing that.
Thank you for saying that. It makes me think of, as a teacher, you go to school for years and years and you're continually growing your expertise in that field. This is just a different field and you should be knowledgeable about what you're putting out into the world. So I'm thankful for all these people who have set the stage for sharing things, and it's been amazing. I've been really, really enthusiastic to learn more and more.
That's awesome. Okay, so on the same vein of learning, when you are practicing and developing specific skills, is there like a certain practice that you have and that you utilize?
At first, since I really didn't have a background in anything in the floral industry, it was kind of seeing what other people were doing and trying to emulate it, which was fine, except it didn't really feel like me. So over time, I'm definitely always absorbing what I see other people doing, and I'll maybe try some different things out. What I try to do right now is I identify one or two areas I want to grow every year, and then do my best to research it and dive in to see if it's something it's a natural fit for me, something I'm interested in or not. So like, for example, this year, one thing I was really determined to do is get better at growing sweet peas because they're amazing. And I just killed them year after year after year. So I finally got the hang of that, which was huge. And then experimenting with foliage and textures in arrangements was also one area of learning for me this year. Before, I would just shove all the dahlias in a mason jar and call it good. So I'm trying to up my skills a little bit.
Good
and
for
so
you.
Just to get better daily practice, you know, if I love it, I tend to want to practice it more. So like flat lays is something I've really fallen in love with, and I will practice those until it's so dark out I can't see anymore. But then some things I see other people do that does not speak to me, for example, is like Instagram reels. So creating content and sharing it through a reel is not something that speaks to me, and I'm okay with just, you know, shrugging and moving on.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's great. I mean, I think that there are, so many different ways in which our creativity can flow, and some people are much better at reels than others. And
right.
Like, you know, I'm right there with you. I feel like, for some people, it's just like an idea comes to them for a reel and they can make it happen. And for others, it's an idea comes to them for a bouquet, or an idea comes to them for a type of flower they want to grow, and they just, you just make it happen. Not to, you know, overlook the practice side of things, because all of these things definitely take practice and, and devotion to like pushing your creativity a little bit too, out, you know, outside of a box that we just create, in and of ourselves. And yeah, so, I want to hear more about the flat lays, because I love them. I think they are so beautiful. I love to see them. I've never actually made one before. So give us some tips on creating a flat lay, and what kind of goes into a recipe for a flat lay if you're going to make one.
Well, I think the easiest way to start is taking blooms that won't work really well in a bouquet or an arrangement anymore. Just maybe the stems are tired or the backs are starting to brown. Many people will just take their deadheaded dahlias and kind of smush them all together, and there's really no way to go wrong with it. But what I have found that works well for me is having a base layer. I personally don't like when you can see empty space poking through the flat lay, whether you're doing it on a table or on the grass or whatever. I like to really fill it up and be careful about hiding the blemishes. So I've had some people asking recently, oh, I thought flat lays were made with deadheaded flowers. Shouldn't they look really ratty? But you can really strategically place things, which it just takes a little time and practice with everything. And what I found this year too with flat lays, because it was a tough growing season for dahlias. It was so cold in the Pacific Northwest this spring. Everything just took forever. It felt like forever to get going. So then I was kind of leaning into other things that I had on hand. Like we had a bunch of ranunculus that were definitely past their prime, but they still looked beautiful arranged in a flat lay. When the zinnias and cosmos came up, I started experimenting with those. And then I started putting all sorts of different things together, different combinations of colors and flowers and textures. And it's just really, I get lost in it. It's really fun work to do, very soothing. And it's kind of turned into like a little bit of an art form for me, I guess.
Yeah.
It's so relaxing.
Yes. Yeah. And you guys, you have to go over to her Instagram and check it out, because she has so many of the flat lays that she's done on there. You can find her on Instagram at B as in like a bumblebee, B-E-E, Mary, M-E-R-R-Y farm, Be Mary Farm. Because man, it's so, I really think that you have a gift for this.
Thank you.
It's so beautiful. It makes me, you know how like when you're growing up, I don't know, I feel like most people have experienced like a ball pit, you know,
yes,
where you jump into the big ball pit.
Sure.
And
Chuck E. Cheese.
I always loved that. And now it's like, it's just looking at your flat lays, I'm like, man, I want to like just jump into this like cloud of beautiful flowers.
Oh, thank yeah. you. Another thing that I didn't even really realize until I read this book this summer. Are you familiar with the author Susan Cain?
Oh, that sounds really familiar.
She's written about introversion, which I am very much an introvert. I force myself to be extroverted in yes. instances like this on a podcast. Uh-huh. but she recently wrote a book called Bittersweet, and it was about how some people experience really intense feelings of longing, or they're maybe deeply moved by things that are really fleeting in life. Mm. And so for me, I have a hard time saying goodbye to flowers. As silly as that sounds, when they're done and it's time to compost them,
yeah.
Or when the season comes to a close and it's just time to whack everything down. And so for me, creating flat lays is a way to kind of give the flowers some permanence, giving them that final goodbye, and then having a picture to commemorate it. I hope that doesn't sound super hokey, but that's another part of it for me, is bringing the emotional aspect into it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think honestly, what you have just said is probably resonating with so many people. especially as florists, like even though we work with flowers often or grow flowers, you know, most of the year and see them and interact with them, like most of us are in the business because we love flowers, and it's hard to say goodbye to them when their life is done. And so I think it's lovely that you found a way to make it last a little bit longer and even give them a second life, so to speak.
Yeah.
To live on a little bit longer. While we're on the philosophical tone in conversation, I would really love to hear from you just one thing or a couple of things that flowers have taught you just in your own life and how they have impacted you.
I feel like as an introvert, it can be kind of hard to reach out to other people. You have to really push yourself. And flowers have been just this amazing catalyst for helping me have more courage and try new things. I think because they're so universal, there's beauty all around us if we work at cultivating it. Flowers have taught me that, but also that you can share that beauty with others. I think that's kind of the main part for me. And the other thing that flowers have taught me is that there's always opportunities to begin again. So whether in life or in flowers, things are going to flop, but the cycles always come back around and you have a chance to have a do-over and make improvements or say goodbye to things that weren't working. And I really appreciate that about them.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I really appreciate how you've drawn the line from the flowers to confidence. Because, you know, flowers, they're not apologetic about who they are and what they are and how they look. And even if they have a wonky stem, like they're just there with their wonky stem being proud about it, you know? Right. and they have a place there, as do all of we.
I
edit that out. Yeah, so they have their own place, as do all of us in the world. And so that's really beautiful, Melissa. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So what about the floral industry? So you're in education and you're also in the floral industry. What to you makes it so special?
Well, I think of it both practically and philosophically. For the practical standpoint, I think the amount, and I mentioned this earlier, the amount of sharing that people are just so giving with what they share, their knowledge about anything under the sun, really, in terms of growing. You can find so many people who will freely give advice. They'll freely give you flowers. They'll help you, bend over backwards to help you. And that is so incredible. And then philosophically, I just think flowers, through the floral industry, you can connect people with that innate desire for beauty that we all have. Sharing just stunning displays of beauty out in the world, whether it's like an elaborate floral installation, which is not something I could do, but I very much admire in other people, or handing someone a mason jar of sweet peas. So I think what's incredible is that you can be anywhere on your flower journey within the floral industry, and there's a place for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a, man, what a gift to be a part of something that is so vast and yet so individualized and personalized to each one of us who is a part of it.
Absolutely.
I'm constantly amazed by the floral community, and you know, on one hand, like you mentioned, just the kindness that people show towards one another in sharing what they've been through and what they've learned, and those who have a passion for educating others, using that passion and educating others in what they learned through their own journey, And also just amazed by just people's creativity, because even though one of my favorite things that I have seen in the floral industry is at a workshop where everyone's given the same exact flowers and told to make a bouquet and like even walked through how to make it, but yet everybody's bouquet looks different. And it's because each of us have our own innate sense of creativity and style, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And we shouldn't, you know, we should always, I think, press into our creativity and see how we can push the bounds of ourselves, but we should never try to be someone else or make our bouquet look exactly like the person next to us or across the room, just because we think theirs might be prettier. You know, that's all subjective. And
right. Yes.
Yeah. So, it's such a gift to be a part of such an expansive, industry and community. So I'm really glad that you've gotten to experience it and that you're continuing to, which is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think at some point something will probably have to give in terms of maintaining balance, but for now it's working. And I love it. I'm so happy. So I'm really happy that my life went in this very unexpected direction.
And I'm sure that as an introvert too, like being around children all day long and being around people all day long, you're like ready to be in the flower field when you get home.
Definitely.
Like, I need a break from all the people.
Yes. Yes. It is very therapeutic to go back there and just, especially on a weeknight, because no one's back there except me, and just have that downtime with the flowers. There's nothing
you
like it.
And the birds and the bees and the grasshoppers. And yeah, that's great. Yep. Okay. So, as we kind of close out, I have a little bit of a more fun question for you, because all of the, you know, the flowers are beautiful and we love them. And we all know that in order to have beautiful flowers, there has to be a lot of really hard work. So if there was one task that you could just close your eyes and say, I wish this was done, and then open your eyes and it be done, what would it be?
Oh my goodness. Right now, because it's just totally on my brain, is getting the dahlia tubers out of the ground.
This has been a common one.
It's kind of like Christmas when you're digging them up and you see how many presents you have. But I think probably the one thing I really, really don't like doing is laying landscape fabric. It's like torture, because I'm very type A too, and I want everything to be like perfectly straight. And where we live, it's pretty windy. So you're battling the winds, blowing the fabric around. And if someone could just come in and lay that for me just take care of that for me, that would be amazing. I don't think that's going to happen, but one can wish.
I mean, maybe if you paid someone, they would do it.
Exactly.
For you.
Yep. I think that's the trick.
Yeah. At what point in the season do you typically lay that down?
It just kind of depends on what we're planting. This last year, we actually grew grass between the rows of dahlias, and so there was a little less in that area. But next year, I'm looking at totally reconfiguring everything. So I imagine there's a lot more landscape fabric in my future. I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It'll probably be my spring break will be spent shipping tubers and laying landscape fabric. So
maybe you can construct somehow a field trip for your students to come out and do all of that for you.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. That might be too close to child labor. I don't know.
I know. Probably wouldn't go over super well.
Oh, man. Anyway, well, thank you again, Melissa, so much for popping on and joining us today. I really enjoyed chatting with you. And I think my cheeks hurt because I've been laughing and smiling so much just chatting and listening to you.
Thank you.
Talk about your love for flowers. Yeah, well, I'm really glad. And everybody, if you're listening, you can find Melissa on Instagram at B as in a bumblebee, B Mary as in Merry Christmas. Bee Mary Farm, at Bee Mary Farm. And then their website is the same thing, beemaryfarm.com. So you can pop over there and you can check out the beautiful flat lays. Make sure that you comment on them and like all of them. You're going to have like, you know how you'll have someone come on and then they like 17 of your pictures. You're like, oh, okay. Hi.
Yep.
New follower. If you're listening, go do it. Go do that for Melissa. And just know that, Melissa, we're really proud of you here at Team Flower, and we're proud to know you and think that the things that you're doing are incredible and awesome, and we're cheering for you. And if you're listening, know that we feel the same way about you. You're not alone. And just as we talked about, there's a spot for you in the industry. And if you haven't quite, if you feel like you haven't quite found it yet, don't give up. It's there. And remember that you've been given a really special gift in and of yourself. Like, you are a gift to the industry, and we believe that. And so I hope that you're able to take that to heart and go forward today and this week and live out your dream. To all of you out there, thanks for listening. Your work with flowers matters. Here at Team Flower, we are cheering you on as you deliver light and grace and love the world through flowers one bloom at a time. Thank you for listening to the Team Flower Podcast.